This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
You're on the Escape Hour with Russ, Tad and Fiona. Your food and travel show. My name's Russ Masterton, and across the panel from me, I have got the beautiful, the gorgeous, the spunky Fiona. How are you?
Well, thanks, Russ. Very well indeed.
You're looking glamorous as always. What are you wearing today?
I'm wearing a vintage silver, black silver Lurex vintage vest.
I can vouch for that.
And you look warm. Yeah. You look warm.
And I am warm. And then I've got some sort of wacky kind of vintage, maybe not vintage, scarf.
Absolute spunk you are. Yeah. We have got, now you're going to let our listeners know that we've got someone special coming in to talk about Iran today shortly, right?
We have. I went on a spectacular trip to Iran last year, and the woman who was part of put that trip together, Dr. Fiona Hill, who is an anthropologist and Middle Eastern expert on the Middle East, is coming in today to tell us all about Iran.
And she's currently stuck in footy traffic, which only happens in Melbourne on a Saturday. So she will be here pronto, and then we can talk Farsi and learn all things Persian with her, which will be great. Our beautiful, beautiful American offsider, Tad, is back after his week in Queensland.
Oh, very nice in Queensland.
Fit and furious.
Yeah, right. trying.
I think he looks gorgeous.
Thank you.
Tad has got a suntan, and he's on a new fitness regime. We're going to be calling him our Muscle Mary on the show.
I started CrossFit last night.
You did? How did that go?
It's really good. Yeah, I enjoyed it. Yeah. It's going to be hard, but that's what it's for.
It just
He's on
looks hard.
A fitness regime that people would die to do, but I won't be joining you, neither will
they. No, no.
Hey, listen, what's trumped this week?
Yeah, well, if you haven't heard the news, first of all, the biggest news, which I want to talk about, has nothing to do with Trump, has to do with all of us.
Yeah.
We've reached our goal for Radiothon.
Congratulations.
Which is amazing.
Yes.
That's incredible.
That's fantastic news.
And that so we need to really thank everybody who, you know, put their all into it, from the volunteers to the people who sponsored, the members, the people that donated to make that happen. And according to our records, it's the most amount that's ever been raised for Radiothon, which is an incredible
result. Yeah, baby!
Oh, I know. Yeah, baby!
There you go.
So how much did we raise? Did we get the final...
300,001.
Something like that.
Oh, we have got an amazing set of volunteers here. Yeah. And just we have to thank all of our listeners. Oh. I mean, that is just incredible that you can give so much money to keep this fabulous radio station on air. It's amazing.
Good cause.
I know. And it was just brilliant. Rushed to the finish line. Fantastic and exciting news for everybody.
Great. Well done. Well done. Done, joysters. Well,
totally. And to not to bring the tone down, yesterday the Supreme Court in the United States implemented part of the travel ban that Donald Trump wanted when he took presidency. According to the Associated Press, it's not so much of a ban as it is a tightening of the rules, but I guess it's left up to interpretation what that actually means. But it pertains to the six Muslim majority countries of citizens of Syria, Sudan, Somalia, Libya, Iran, and Yemen. Any citizens of those countries that currently have visas will be able to enter the United States without problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the people from those countries who are wanting to obtain a visa will be further scrutinized. So they'll have to prove that they have a close family relationship or that they have an entity like a school or a business in the United States that they're having a relationship with or something to do with.
And
what does that prove?
And it's crazy because all of the most terror attacks in the United States are perpetrated not by any of those people, people from those countries. Saudi Arabia is probably one of the largest parts of that that do, and also domestic terrorism as well. That's really shocking.
I don't understand. Like, I just don't understand what scrutinizing those people in that way is going to prove at all. I mean, I think there's probably more of a risk of the guns in the United States killing their citizens than anybody. It just doesn't make sense to me.
They have also introduced a new travel issue around laptops.
Yes.
You can no longer enter into the United States with a laptop in your carry-on.
I've got to go in your suitcase.
It's got to go in your suitcase. Last time I put a laptop in my suitcase, it broke.
Or it was missing, possibly. You know, yeah. No one knows his laptops and suitcases. We don't know what will happen.
Yeah,
then.
That's crazy. So,
The whole Trump thing's quite interesting. I think. Mm. I mean, we can all agree around this table that we just think he's nasty.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing with him, I have no intentions of going to the United States currently. I've got family in Michigan and love going there, and you know, New York. Who wouldn't want to go to New York?
Oh, yeah.
But I'm watching everything he does, and it goes so against the grain of what I believe in that I just don't want to step into that country.
Can I just say one comment about that, though? I mean, because I am American and Australian,
yes,
but the citizenship. But it's interesting because when Donald Trump first came into office, I actually wanted to hand my passport in. I didn't because I thought, no, that would mean that he would win, and I don't actually think he's going to be around long enough. To be honest with you, I think he'll be voted out. Sooner rather than later. You know, he still has a few years left of his presidency, but I think I think the general public don't feel that same way. Like when I went to New York, there was more people against his behavior and what he was standing for than those that were for it. And so I think it's strange in that regard, and it's a shame that people do feel they don't want to travel to the United States because of that reason. But it's not the majority that want that, you know.
Well, the other tricky thing is, of course, that a lot of the people that voted Trump in would not be in New York, would they?
Exactly. No.
And unless you're visiting some of those parts, and apparently his constituency are quite happy with how things are going.
Oh, I'm sure they are. Yeah, absolutely. But it's
they're
just
all
one
just
of those
redneck. Anti everything people, aren't they? Really
angry, you know? People,
exactly. Yeah. But I look, you know, what it's done for Australians wanting to travel to the United States is down come the airfares. I mean, the thing at the moment is that people are looking at the US and thinking, oh, do I really want to go there? What's it going to be like when I get there? Yep. Are all these Trump weirdos going to be everywhere? And so, airfares at the moment $895 return with good airlines, really good airlines.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's incredible.
And it doesn't help that the American dollar is what it is against the Australian dollar as well. It's not a good time to actually be traveling there from that point of view with the exchange rate. But it's interesting about the airfares that, you know, they just keep continually.
And we'll be watching Turnblad or Turnbull or Turncrap or whatever closely, because I've got this gut feeling that he'll do a Trump to get himself back into power in our next election is, and come up with all these outrageous things about our borders and immigration and safety. Yeah. I mean, I wish we could let everybody into our country. I don't know what the vetting process is for. People coming into Australia, but I mean, I'm sure that they're vetted well enough that anyone who's got a bad background isn't going to be welcome here. Yeah.
Well, I think that this is something that we should probably look into a little bit more later. But of course, more people that come to Australia technically illegally come by plane and not by boat.
Yes.
So you know, I don't know what the percentages are. Mm. What about all those British backpackers that don't go home?
We have some amazing communities here in Melbourne. We've got a Sudanese community in Richmond. Mm. Beautiful people. We've got an Iranian in Footscray. There's Vietnamese in Abbotsford and Chinese down at Box Hill and Mount Waverley. I mean, we're the luckiest city with all
absolutely.
Of these great people living with us. We're fantastic.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Guess what?
What?
Can you hear that?
I hear it.
That's a clock ticking. Now, the clock ticking means that we here in Australia are still waiting,
With bated breath.
With bated breath for marriage equality. Yeah, but guess what happened yesterday?
Yes.
I think I know.
What happened?
Oh,
what happened, Fräulein?
Germany came in line and...
They
legalized same-sex marriage.
They
which
just
is
did it.
Yeah.
It's like, we could do it. They just
we could
did
do it.
It.
And I'm annoyed.
Didn't it feel as though it all just happened in 1 week, didn't it?
It did.
Yeah.
How you know, it's not hard.
Didn't the gorgeous Angie Merkel, she's a nudist, you know, Angela
she?
Merkel, she's a nudist.
I thought that was part of being German, that you had to be a nudist.
Well, they're all nudists, aren't they?
Okay.
Yes, I don't know.
I'm getting a visual now that I don't really want.
Oh, well, okay. Well, we don't want Angie nude, do we? But she put it out there with her with her parliament very quickly this week. And managed
she did.
To, yeah, which was absolutely
fantastic. Which I think
fantastic.
Is fascinating. Yeah, exactly. And you know, come on, Australia. We're there. It's the bloody government, you know. Listen to the people for a change.
Outrageous, you know? Isn't it?
Exactly.
So would you go over to Germany and put on your dimdi, which I believe is a German female's dress, or would you go over there with your lederhosen on and go down the aisle?
I'll go the Lederhosen.
Yeah, well, okay. Well, I'll wear the dimdi if you ask me to marry you. I'll happily do that.
My mother grew up in Germany.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she lived there for a while. Yeah.
Okay, well, Germany of interest is one of those places where you can actually go out and get married in a castle.
How brilliant is that?
Could you imagine? It's sort of like one of those Disneyland-style castles.
Cool.
It's called We really needed our other joyster on today, Mark Adams, who spent a year at school in Germany.
Did he?
Yes. Give Mark a bit of a cheerio today, because my German's not going to be very good, because I've wanting to turn around and say it's the Neuschwanstein Castle, but I'm sure that's very wrong.
You said that better than I could.
Sure that's nine castle, but the Neuschwanstein Castle. Ted, I did a bit of homework.
Okay.
On what happens at a German wedding. So if you and I ever, found our true love and we headed over to Germany to get married, what they actually do the night before you get married, they have a Polterabend.
Okay.
Now, a Polterabend is where you get everybody in the street and you tell everybody that tomorrow is your wedding, and they all go inside to their houses and they get their worst ceramic dishes that they've got, and they all come out on the street and they smash them down on the ground. Yes. So,
it's very Greek, isn't it?
Well, it sounds very Greek, doesn't it? But the Germans, you go inside and you think, oh, the neighbours are getting married quickly. Let's get some plates and throw it at them.
That sounds like fun.
Isn't that awesome?
Yeah.
And then the married couple have to get some brooms and clean up the street afterwards.
Is that their job? Okay.
That's right.
Yep.
Another thing that the people that are going to the wedding all do is they decorate their cars and they honk their horns as they're going to the wedding to let everybody know that they're going to a wedding. Something very interesting that I think you and I would be good at. There's a thing called a Baumsturmsagen. Now a Baumsturmsagen, Tad, is where the couple have to saw a trunk in half, a tree trunk in half.
Oh, okay. We would be good at that.
That's right. And why they have to do that, it shows the strength in the couple as a unit. So they get out there with this massive saw blade and they look after the tree trunk. Another interesting one, which I think both of you would really like, is they do a kidnapping of the bride after they've been married. So you go through the ceremony, you become bridal and husband and bride, and then they kidnap the bride and they take her out all over Berlin, for example, and they take at all these bars. I could see you doing this, Ted. And then the groom has to work out which bar they've taken the bride.
That is every so bar much in fun.
Have you done it?
I have been to Berlin. I haven't done it yet because I haven't been married, but I could pretend.
Yeah, I just think it's kidnapping of the bride. Right. It's a German ritual.
What happens if you don't find the bride?
Well, the groom has a very lonely night then, doesn't he? The other thing the Germans like to do is a wedding veil dance. So you take off the bride's veil and you all do a dance underneath the veil, which sounds quite exciting.
Okay.
Of interest, everybody is going to be watching the cutting of the cake.
Everybody?
Yep. Do you know why?
No.
Why?
Because whoever's hand is on top of the knife is the person in the marriage who wears the pants of the family.
So that's the goal. It's very
German. So my hand, I'd like to think my hand would already be on top, but knowing my partner, his will be on top, I can tell you that. And the last tip, if you're going to have a German wedding, is, and this is just because there are a bunch of jokesters over there in Germany, what they do is before you take your beautiful bride or groom, or whichever will be, off to the matrimonial room for a bit of hanky-panky, by the time you get there, you'll find all the guests will have filled the room with balloons.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah, making it virtually impossible to get to the bed. So.
Noisy.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic, guys.
Wow, they've got some really fun rituals.
Yeah, I could see you in the German wedding dress is called a dimdi or something similar.
It does not sound fashionable
at all. It doesn't, or a Lederhosen. I'm sure we could see either of you in something fabulous. If Mark's listening today, could you please send us in a message, Mark, to say, I love you in German, so we can can put that out there over the airways. But congratulations to Germany.
Yeah, definitely.
It's very exciting.
I do love Germany.
They've put it out there, and as we said before, our clock is ticking. I love that little come on, Malcolm, get your job done, please, you silly old fool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. If only it was just up to him.
If only.
Yeah.
If only. Thank you for listening this week. This is The Escape Hour.
Is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.